You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. It's Mail It In Friday. Brought to you by 1 in 100.
From now on, I'm not getting out of this chair ever. Okay, from now on, this chair is the one.
So you're just going to eat chocolate now for the rest of the hour.
It's the ultimate mail-in.
It is mail-in.
Who gives a f***?
Up here, I'm already gone.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, the O-Dog, taking one of his floater days today. He's down at the Scotiabank this evening, Leafs Devils. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050 and watch it on TSN 4. It's the Hall of Fame game tonight, so O's down there doing panel work. All the Hall of Famers will be in attendance,
yeah,
including a lot of the, I guess, former Hall of Famers, or how would you, I guess once you're a Hall of Famer, you're
just
always
a
Hall of Famer,
but just the ones
previous
who have been in.
Inductees.
Yes.
Yes, like Lanny McDonald will be there, I would think.
Lanny's stash is on fire.
It always is. I think Dougie Gilmore's probably there tonight. Would Dougie be in attendance?
Eddie B.
Eddie Belfour. Right. Scott Niedermeyer may be in town for Brodeur going in.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
Steve Yzerman, would he be here for Marty St. Louis? Are they on good terms or what?
I don't know. I don't know if they're on good terms or not. I heard it's interesting. We interviewed Marty St. Louis today, Gino and I, and he said something that kind of like I kind of chuckled to myself. He's like, "Yeah, I had a heart to heart with John Tortorella outside an elevator once." And Gino would ask him, he kind of talks about how it maybe changed the trajectory of his career. And he was like, "Yeah, you know, John and I are good." Like, it was weird. Like, it was, like, I can't see Torts, like, doing a video message for him or anything. But even though they won a cup together and they had tremendous success, I don't know if there's maybe animosity. I don't know why there would be. He just said, he actually elaborated and said, you know, Torts was a passionate guy, very honest, and so was I. And almost like it sounded like Marty St. Louis had some pushback and was like, "All right, play me more."
Well, I would guess so. I mean, he won a heart with Tortorella as his coach.
Exactly.
And he won a cup back in 04.
Yep.
I understand why the players aren't big fans of the coaches. I don't think that should be a two-way street. You know, like the coach, it's the same thing with Babcock. We just heard from Zetterberg last week. Zetterberg was back in Detroit and said, "Listen, you know, we had our ups and downs, and in the end we won together, but it wasn't always rosy." And I don't remember the exact quote, but it sounded like Zetterberg basically said there were times where I absolutely despised Babcock as my coach.
Oh, for sure.
And Babcock came back with, I think, an appropriate answer. He said, "Last time I checked, his name's on the cup, and I was a part of that." But I don't think the coach can hold a grudge against the player because the player is pushing back or the player doesn't like that you're on him all the time. Because that's not a two-way street.
Right.
It's not. The players don't rip into the coaches, or very rarely. But the coach is always on top of the players. Always. And that's the coach's job. But the coach has to be more mature and know that of course he's pushing buttons. He's the one that's doing it.
I remember having there being an awkward time in St. Louis with Keenan and Hull. And I remember being in a scrum afterwards. Like, you know, at the end of practice, there's always, like, the coach will call you in. You're all, you know, surrounded around him. And, like, Keenan and Brett are, like, arguing. And that one was a little bit weird. Because you're like, okay, here's our best player and our coach. And they're, like, basically yelling at each other. And, okay, we're playing Hartford tonight. Let's have a good game. But it was a very awkward situation. I mean, I just was a fly on the wall. I'm sitting there. Well, I'm not sitting there. I'm standing there. And I don't know what was... I mean, I know what was said. I can't say it on air, but it was heated. And it's weird, though, because I don't know if there's superstars that didn't have a great relationship with head coaches, but they may not have... Like, I don't think Brett Hull had great success under Mike Keenan. Maybe he did. I'd have to go back.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand where the players hold a grudge because the players feel like
this guy's messing with
you. You're always
ice
leaning
time.
On me. You're always on top of me. And that's the way it's always been with coaches. And, you know, it's the old Pat Burns saying, "Screw with them before they screw with you."
Right.
And that's the way it always goes with these hard ass coaches. What I'm saying is, I don't think the coach should be hating on the player afterwards because the coach did it on purpose. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? You just said you don't think Torts would be saying anything to Marty St. Louis. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Why would Tortorella hold a grudge against Marty St. Louis? Even if St. Louis doesn't love him or whatever, right. Tortorella better love him. Because it was Marty St. Louis that went on the ice and actually got him that cup ring.
Yeah.
He was the one that went out there and played.
Yeah, you're right.
So why would a coach hold a grudge against a player because
Unless the player got fired or something.
Well, yeah, obviously there are some extenuating circumstances where you can be like, all right, that one I can kind of understand, but I don't know. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Do you ever have a situation there where I'm sure you had coaches that you didn't love when you played for them, but did you ever have a coach that you really felt didn't like you?
Yes.
Like personally didn't like you, not just the way you played?
No, I think just the way I played.
Okay.
I mean, I like to think that anyway. I mean, he might not have liked me anyway, but he certainly didn't like the way I played, and I didn't like the way he coached. And so that ended up in a trade.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'll show him. Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you show him in a new city?
Go ahead. You're out of here. Yeah, because we were talking about St. Louis, and I guess he was talking about Tortorella earlier today. And Noodles kind of thought he picked up on something that
it was like not a lot of love loss, if that makes sense.
Which I get from St. Louis, because Tortorella would have been all over him all the time. But I don't think Torts should be in a situation where he doesn't like St. Louis. Like, how can you not? The guy won an MVP and was the major reason why you have a cup ring.
Well, I mean, the only reason that would be, I would think, is, you know, if there's more to the story than we would know. You know, because in a lot of cases, I mean, we hear stuff that, you know, basically scratches the surface of what really goes on. And that's the case for, you know, in a lot of different circumstances. And maybe it's that so with them, if there is that case. I mean, John would have been you got to go back 15 years too, right? John would have been a hard, hard ass to play for. Now he's hard now, but it's not even close. It's not even, you know, it almost sounds like, you know, there's, like, when I listen to him, there's been a little bit of a change through the way John communicates and the way he treats his players. But back then, that was the way. Like, you just drove them into the ground, and, you know, when they didn't respond, you didn't coddle them, you drove it harder. And that would, you know, for some guys, that probably sounded pretty personal at the time.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I guess that's what I'm saying, is that the coach, and considering we're using Tortorella as an example,
right?
He knew what he was doing. He knew the tactic he wanted to use, and he went out there and he used it. And to be insulted or to be overly sensitive because the player doesn't like it seems like that's kind of on you as the coach. Like, what you really think they were going to love that?
Do you think if you got a whole bunch of Dallas star players together, do you think they're going to sing Kumbaya when they talk about Hitch?
No, of course not. But he knows that. He has to know that.
Because the coach is looking to punch your buttons any way he can to get you to play the best that you can for him and for the team. And I'm sure, Noodles, you had coaches that would grind your gears in a way that you just didn't like it. But they didn't really care. They were just trying to find a way to get you, when you had to go in, that you played the best that you could play.
Right.
I mean, they can like you and all that, but they're looking to punch the button to get you to play the best of your ability. And if that means that you hate the coach, yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I would think so. I mean, because you got lots of friends. You want to win so you can stay coaching. That's really the bottom line.
Exactly. You know that they're not going to like it.
I just...
know it as a coach.
You're right. But for me, I would love to see... Now, I've been in coaches' rooms for a couple years. Like, you want to talk about these Uber conversations, you should hear the stuff that goes on. Like, I mean, Ray, you talk to the coaches every day when you're doing color. You get some probably candid comments off the record, obviously.
Yeah, you ask a coach about a guy that's not going well, and the answer will be, oh, he's, you know what, brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't play him.
Like, I can't play him. He's useless.
I've had a coach say to me, like, I can't put him on the ice. Like, I'm terrified to have to call his name. And I'm like, all right. And that's, and believe me, I
5:30.
Yeah, don't tie everything to the Ottawa Senators. I talk to a lot of coaches. So this isn't Guy Boucher talking about a player. This is, you know, I've talked to opposing coaches, opposing assistant coaches. I text with guys all the time. So I try to get a lay of the land. But I don't know how many times I've gotten candid responses about player X. Like, Jesus, this guy looks out of shape. He's like, oh, you should see him with his shirt off. He looks like the janitor. Or, you know, looks like this, you know, like, it's crazy.
I think one of my favorite comments, I asked the coach about a player, and he just looked at me like he didn't say anything, and he went, move on. And I was like, he couldn't even come up with an answer. He just stared, and he's like, move on. Okay, well, I guess that guy's a scratch tonight. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, that's probably all you really needed. You could move on, because that was the explanation you were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Leafs Devils tonight down at Scotiabank. The Leafs are in Boston tomorrow night. And the Bruins, man, we were talking about it earlier. They gave up an 8 spot last night. And now you got Tuukka Rask, who's leaving for personal reasons. Charlie McAvoy's got a concussion. The Leafs have Matthews out. Nylander hasn't been here at all. So it's not like the Leafs haven't had to deal with some problems themselves. But I don't get the impression like tomorrow night's going to have the same intensity as Game 7 did back in late April.
No, it feels like too many of the main characters are missing for it to be that way. And, you know, it's funny, like Halak had really kind of taken the goal from Rask. And then last night, I don't know, it was a game of dodgeball. I mean, there were goals going in all over the place. And, you know, when Rask went in to finish up, he said after the game, you know, he was just trying to keep it under 10. It was one of those nights. And then, you know, this morning we read that he's left the team for a personal reason, and, you know, whatever that is, I hope it's all right. But he's not there now, so it's Halak in goal. And, you know, you take their best defenseman out of the mix, and, you know, and as a result, you give up, and some other things going on, but you give up 8 goals, which, of course, you're not beating anybody with an 8 spot. The Bruins don't look right, guys. Like, they just haven't played very well for any length of time.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know what the game will look like tomorrow. I mean, Toronto will go in there on the heels of this game, and, you know, they put an unbeaten record on the line on the road, which is amazing. So I'm assuming that's a Sparks game. And, you know, he hasn't played in a month. So in go a whole lot of other variables into that night.
Yeah, without question. And I think he's got to go. You can't start Freddie Anderson on a back-to-back this early into the season when he's been great, but his workload has been too much already.
Well, you want to manage it.
You have to manage it.
This is an opportunity to manage it. There's 3 back-to-backs this month. I think Sparks should play them all. You've got to get him in.
He said something I wanted to ask you about before I forget. So he said, Freddie Anderson, you know, about the number of games. And he said, you know, whatever the number is, it's going to be what it's going to be. But if you finish the year with 10 days, you know, a couple of games in the last 10 days, or you finish it playing 20 straight, that's 2 different things.
Right.
20 straight would get you tired. He didn't seem overly concerned about the total. It was about when the total, you know,
gets
applied. Is that correct?
It is correct, because if you start to take a look and manage the schedule within the schedule, you don't have to tax the body as much. So, for example, if he plays Saturday and then they play, you know, Tuesday, Saturday, you give Sparks the Tuesday, now all of a sudden you're a week in between starts. That's ample rest. So it's about managing the schedule within the schedule. That way he doesn't have to run 20 starts down the stretch. And Vasilevsky admitted last year that he was tired. And, you know, Pierre LeBrun brought up on the show yesterday that he's got a bee in his bonnet. I think he's going to write about it, about what is the magic number for starts for any starter. And the last 3 Stanley Cup winners, the guy has been in the 50s. So is that the magic number? My response to that is you have to have a guy who can play 25 or 27. It's easier said than done. You know, if the Flames wanted to rest Kiprusoff, they had to put McLennan in the net for 27 games or 25. Like, was I able to do that? That's the challenge. Can Garrett Sparks give Frederik Andersen 22 nights off? That's the challenge.
Yeah, but he can't just give him 22 nights and not get any points.
Right.
Right. That's the challenge, I would assume, for the backup who, and you would know it far better, of course, but he's been sitting around for a month. Great. He's been practicing hard and getting lots of shots and lots of game-like drills. But you haven't played in a month.
Okay.
It's got to be hard.
You're right. So when you watch the game tomorrow night, say you cuddle up on the couch, you've got a beer, you're watching the game. When you see Sparks starting, is the first thing you're going to say is, you know what, I'm going to give him a pass because he hasn't played in a month. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Yeah, if he lets in a muffin from the blue line because he's not sharp or he's out of, you know, game practice, like, nobody's going to care. They're going to say, what the hell is Sparks doing? That's the pressure of being a backup, and he has not gone through that process. He has to go through that process, so I would be shocked if he did not get the game tomorrow. I'd be shocked if he didn't get the other two back-to-backs this month. He has to play, and the team has to gain trust in him in case, God forbid, Freddie tweaks something or he gets sick for 10 days or something, then Sparks is the guy. Because, as we all know, the Leafs don't have much depth in net. Their depth is in Carolina and Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, no, he's playing. Don't have an option. He's playing. And listen, this is still a good thing we're talking about the backup because Freddie Anderson's been so good. We could be in Montreal right now where the only thing they worry about is their starter because Price, he gave up a sixth spot again last night. He's given up 11 goals in his last two games. His last five starts, his numbers are brutal.
Yeah.
He's coming off a poor year last year. The contract's kicked in. They've played really well. They're scoring goals. They're putting up numbers. They're picking up wins. The concern is Carey Price.
I'm not worried about him one bit. They're sixth in the NHL. Sixth.
Think about where they would be if you made a stop the past two games.
Well, the two Noodles. Games. Like he cost them a point last night. But I went
Noodles,
through.
What's the difference when he's gone from a wider stance to a narrower stance? What's the difference in game? Does he feel awkward? Does he feel...
I think his timing's off, Ray. I went through the last five games, goals. He's allowed 22. Nine were backdoor plays. So you just take nine off the board right there because those are backdoor like situations. Three, I had bad rebounds. So that's managing the puck. That's on Carey. The Ristolainen goal, that should never go in down the wall. Good shot, blah, blah, blah. That's a stoppable
puck. Stop that.
In overtime, when the team has bailed you out. Like, they scored five last night, and they'd give up a goal, and Carey would allow one, and they'd come right back and score. Like, last night was at Carey Price's feet. Against the Rangers the game before, they're up 3-1, they lose 5-3. If you actually take a look, there's some really bad mistakes going on. Usually he can mop that up. Right now, he's even saying, it's in my head, I got to clear my head. So they're going to play Niemi tomorrow. But I'm looking at it, and Ray, getting back to the technical stuff, the only thing that I can see right now is his patience. When a goaltender's not on their game, you see them go down slightly a bit earlier. Like, just from a technical standpoint, I'll go down and I'll play the percentages. That hasn't been Price's mantra. But Price's mantra is like, I'm going to be big. I'm going to stand up on plays. I'm going to look big in the net. There's times where, because of his stance a little bit, he's smaller in the net and he wants to push across, but he's allowing shots that I think he would make those saves and look routine if he's on his game. And he's certainly not on his game. But I'm just... I saw people going nuts in Montreal last night, and I said, well, you know, there is an option. Ben Scrivens and Mike Condon are available, and that's what you had a couple years ago. So
I hear you, but, you know, like, it's the highest paid goalie in the league.
I get it, but, like, Pekka Rene, people were writing this guy off a couple years ago. Like, Sidney Crosby didn't score for the first six games of the season. Like, was he done?
But, Noodles, you're talking about patience. Patience really is confidence.
Yeah.
The same for a player.
Yeah, you're right.
If the skater doesn't have patience, doesn't have confidence, they hold on to the puck a little bit too long, or they get rid of it a little bit too quick.
Yep.
Nothing feels quite right.
Yep.
And Price just, when I watch, I'm like, geez, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't look like him. Like, when he's at his best, he looks like Freddie Anderson right now. Anderson looks like he's half asleep.
Yeah.
Like, he moves, like, just so solidly. Like, he moves across, the puck hits him. It's like it hits a bag of marshmallows. It just drops right at his feet, and he covers it up. Like, there's no rebounds. It's just simple.
But
that, to me, is a confident goaltender.
You're right. But he did look like that the first 3 weeks. So that's the difference, is the last 4 or 5 games, he's hit the ditch.
Well, we'll see. You're calling the game tonight. It should be a really cool vibe down there with the Hall of Famers in tow and a couple of boos, I would think, for Bettman. So make sure you get those in if you can.
Yeah, I love doing this game. I love seeing how proud and happy the Hall of Famers are when they walk on the ice. You know, they walk right past me, and it's just so cool to see. I love this game. It's a fun one to do.
Should be a blast. Enjoy it, buddy.
Enjoy the weekend, guys. We'll talk to you Monday.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%, MapleToyota.com. Yeah, as for Price, the problem is last year was obviously the worst year of his career. And now the contract kicks in. It's, you know how it is.
Well,
you know how people are going to focus on that.
Like I say, careful what you wish for, because I guarantee you, like, Philadelphia, you only worry about goaltending when you don't have it. So take a look at some of these organizations that don't have it, that would die to have this type of problem, to have an elite goaltender go through a tough stretch.
But I guess the question is, with Carey Price, the way that he performed back in the 14-15 season, you know,
right.
Listen, he had a 3 or 4 year run where his numbers were insane. He won the Hart.
Yes.
Goalies don't win the Hart. It doesn't happen. That's how good he was. They couldn't score that year. They won every game 2-1 because
of
him.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
I can't picture him reaching that point again.
I can.
You think he can return to the best, and it's not even a debate, who's the best goalie in the world?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have no doubt in my mind.
That's my question.
But I've also stood and banged on the Pekka Rene drum when I had idiots writing to me saying he's a replacement-level goaltender, and the guy goes and wins the Vezina last year. Like, you don't forget. Like, talent isn't forgotten. Confidence, there's a struggle. The group in front of you, there's a struggle. Like,
but that's why I think they're freaking out in Montreal, is that the group has played really well.
But technically they have, but technically they haven't. When you're giving up 9 backdoor goals, that's flawed to me. I think Montreal has been brilliant this season in certain levels, but they've give up a lot. They give up a lot of chances, and that's from a defensive core. Like, I like Jeff Petrie, but Petrie is Jake Gardner.
Yeah, he's a four.
He's a guy who good offensively, but he gets beat defensively in weird situations. Mm. They've got a group there, I think, that works really well together, and they need Carey. And I honestly think in this, I know I'm a Carey lover, but I wholeheartedly believe in him. But I thought Claude Julien nailed it last night. He said, our team has to help him out. Carey's been good, but we know he can be great. He's got to be better. And he, you know.
Well, that's, listen, last year,
Their team was
a disaster. He had the worst year of his career.
But he was hurt, too. That's another thing. He got hurt.
Yes, but
who would you take, Frederick Anderson or Carey Price?
If you add the contract, I'm taking Freddie.
Now, the contract doesn't matter to anybody.
Well, it has to.
Why?
He's made $10.5 million.
It doesn't matter. But you're not
the highest paid goalie in the league.
And he's the best goaltender in the league. I'm saying, who would you take, Carey Price
for
Frederick
the next
Anderson.
5 years, taking everything out of it, I think I would probably take Price. I think I would. But I'm just saying, listen, I don't profess to be Mr. Goaltender,
no,
but
I'm
last year
saying.
He had an awful year, and this year his numbers aren't that good, and he's given up, he's costing them points.
But he's also gotten them points. That's the thing. They're sixth in the national. You're the guy at the start of the season said this team's going to be, they should be 26th in the league.
I still don't think they're going to hold on like this.
I don't think they're going to be a top 10 team whatsoever.
No,
I think they're going to be an eighth spot.
I said before the year, I thought the only way they make the playoffs is if he wins the Vezina.
Yeah.
And the way it's going right now, obviously that's not going to happen.
You're right. He's not going to win the Vezina.
No.
Not the way he's playing.
But You know, and you can't expect that out of anyone every single year.
No.
But when you're the highest paid goalie in the league and the expectations are that you can perform.
Right.
You don't have to be the best every single year, but you got to be in the top 5 or 10.
I agree, but I think the first 3 weeks he was brilliant. But then the last, what's happening is there's a market correction. The league's starting to tighten up. Like some of these guys who had great starts, now Armia's out. You got Paul Byron out. Like they're getting banged up. Juleson was a, like they're.
The Habs are going to slow down.
They're,
like Max Domi and Tatar are off to incredible starts.
Well,
good for them.
Drew N, too.
Drew N's been great.
They're a point of game, these guys. So it's good for them, but there are going to be times, I think right now, 2 to 3 weeks from now, we'll be talking about like, man, Carey Price has dug them out or is keeping them in it because they're, and he has to. I'm not defending that he has not been good in his last couple games, but people are like, well, look at the numbers. Well, dig into the games because, like I say, when I went through the 22 goals in the last 5 games, there's a couple wins in there, but there's
I just think the expectations are so high with him.
Right.
Which is what comes with the territory. When when you've won a Hart and Vesna's, you know, it's just go talk to McDavid. If McDavid has a bad 2 weeks, people are like, what are you doing? You're not allowed to have a bad 2 weeks. You're Connor McDavid. You got to be the best player in the league.
It's funny that you say that.
That's the reaction, right?
And it's funny you say that because that's going to happen here soon when Marner gets paid. Like Tavares, like people are looking at me, $11 million. You got it, you know.
The contract. That's the funny thing. He signed the contract last summer. Price did, but it kicked in this year.
Yeah.
And it changes your
view. It changes the way people look at it.
It's just a reality. When you're in a hard cap system, the dollars and cents are always going to apply when you're arguing about anything or debating anything.
You're right. But the only thing is I haven't seen like people yell and scream about numbers. But I can't think of a team that is so pressed up against the cap that can't do anything. Is there a team like Chicago? But like the Chicago's are where they are. Like
It depends on what. When you say do anything, it depends on what.
Like Jimmy Rutherford comes out and says, you know what, I can't do anything because I've got this, I've got that. Like. That's the only thing people get worked up about the cap.
Yeah, I mean, look at, like, Tavares was available. Pittsburgh couldn't even entertain that conversation.
Right.
They couldn't find $11 million. They didn't have $11
million. Right.
You know,
but I think that if he would have said, I'm coming to Pittsburgh, they would have found a way to do it.
I guess you could have moved Phil and then moved something else or something. I don't
Tang,
know. I guess you can get creative.
Like, you move, like, that's the only thing that...
But Price isn't going anywhere. They're not trading him, so...
No, I wouldn't.
No, I'm not... It's not going to happen. But he's, you know, the 10.5 is...
It's like anything. It's an anchor or it becomes an anchor if you're not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing well, good. You deserve it. If you're not playing well, man, this guy's hurting us. He's $10.5 million.
Exactly.
I just tried to, like, calm the masses in Montreal because I'm like, hold on a second. You talk about, like, Vancouver, the Gretzky comment. All of a sudden, they're acting like they should be first place in the league. Like, you're pretty lucky. Like, they've had a great start.
I think they're surprised. But, again, I think they're surprised that they are where they are, and Price doesn't have a .940 save percentage.
But they feel like, hey, six, we could be actually third if this point.
You get greedy, right?
Well, you do, and it's fair for a fan base to be like that. But I'm also saying, like, you know, don't have that short of a memory where it was a couple years ago where you had Ben Scrivens who played 50 and Mike Connan who played 50 games for you.
Oh, like, but they don't want to go back to that, of course.
Oh, no.
All right, Brian Baldinger will join us just after 6. We'll look into the Thursday night or last night. Sounds like Dez Bryant blew out his Achilles at practice in New Orleans today as well. And our friend Kara Wagner will join us in studio. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Mail in Friday brought to you by 1in100.net for 1in100 chance at winning killer seats at any Toronto game. Go to 1in100.net, the website 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. So we're mailing it in, although I think we've been pretty good today.
Yeah, we had some spirited chats.
Yeah, and the O-Dog is down at the rink tonight. It's Leafs Devils, personal day, a floater day. He'll be on the panel. Leafs, Devils, pregame in about an hour right here on TSN Radio. Then they're in Boston tomorrow night. And we unveiled the contest of all contests earlier this week. Say I Do with the Overdrive crew in Vegas. And we've had a lot of different people submitting why they believe they should be the pair to join us in Vegas. So we're going to read through a few of those later this afternoon. We've got future headlines returning. We'll tell you more about that. A bit of a different spin on it. But Kara Wagland, our friend from SportsCenter, is in studio. And I witnessed you roll in here with at least three bags.
Everything that's seems
minimum
like it would
three bags
fit into O Dog's trunk.
Like yeah.
That's yeah.
Why do you travel
it's
with
excessive.
So much stuff?
Being a girl sucks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's why. You have to carry like a change of shoes in the winter. I'm not wearing heels outside in this weather. That's insane. So you need a change of shoes. You need a change of clothes in case you have a commitment after work. Got to have your lunch.
Right.
Got to have some makeup with you. You got to be prepared for all situations.
I guess
it's a pain in the butt.
I did not know that.
I travel light, very light.
Yeah.
I'm going to Florida tomorrow and I'll just bring in like a little overnight bag.
I can never do that.
It'd be great. Like I don't, the hotel sometimes, well, the, if you stay at like the Westin, they provide you with the Westin workout gear. So you don't need to bring stuff. So you just phone the front desk, bring me some shoes, a shirt and that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Why would you do that,
though? $5.
So what kind of gear are they hooking you with?
Wait, are these used shoes? Like, are these shoes that someone else has already sweated in?
Yeah.
So it's like going to a bowling alley, basically.
Like, well, they're not, like,
are they chewed up?
Yeah, there's not a hole in the toe. They're, like, they I'm sure they update them, and then you get a brand new pair of socks, so you're feet aren't in this grubby
you know
situation.
That not everyone wears socks when they work out, right?
Yeah, but I do, so how would that
so
matter?
Gross.
What do you think?
That
by
sweat
osmosis?
Could have been like absorbed
oh, yes.
into the
by
insoles
osmosis,
of those shoes.
I'm gonna have like
you never
dead
know.
Foot or
you're
something.
Gonna pick up like hepatitis or something. Yeah, I wouldn't
no
do
way.
It man. I wouldn't do that.
Do it all the time.
I've never even heard of that before. I don't even know. You have somehow you find out all these different angles and
it's efficiency.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, you live in a household that is inefficient. I make it efficient.
Right. I don't know. You also eat chicken fingers at a vending machine, so I don't trust anything
once.
You do.
Once.
You did that? I never heard about
in Japan.
That. Oh, yeah. You told us that story. Did you see another girl at the Garden got caught dipping a chicken finger into
Pepsi?
Like Pepsi or Diet Pepsi?
Why are people so up in arms about this? Who cares?
Well, I think it's a repulsive move. That's why I would be up in arms. It happened at the U.S. Open. It's something
yeah,
about New
I'm
York.
Fine with it.
Although that girl was Canadian. They tracked her down.
Yeah, she was Canadian.
And I guess her Instagram page was...
Something else?
Yeah, there were a lot of people that started following. It was a public page.
Oh,
let's
really?
Put it that way. Why would you dip chicken fingers into Pepsi?
I don't Maybe know.
Maybe plum sauce was not available.
So
dry chicken. Well, some
dry
people
chicken
don't like
fingers,
dry chicken
great.
Fingers.
Yeah.
I got a little something.
Oh, I got no problem with that. Chicken fingers in any outside of again with pop is fine by me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I have no issue with it.
Steph Curry's injured, and originally I thought I saw that it was his shoulder, but now
groin.
The Warriors are saying it's a groin injury. The Warriors are in town at the end of the month. They're at Scotiabank November 29th, and I don't know if he's going to be back in time for that. I didn't see a timeline on the injury. But
he had an MRI today. Apparently, according to Steve Kerr, Curry's pretty bummed about the injury, but Steve Kerr is very encouraged by the MRI results. So he says he probably won't hit the floor for a couple days, but he doesn't expect him to be out.
Okay, so hopefully he's back because you want the Warriors only come here once a year.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ticket, I would think. I mean, LeBron always used to be the ticket, but we got used to LeBron. And maybe now with the Lakers, because he's in the West and he's only going to be once a year, they're not going to make the NBA Finals and we're not going to see them in the spring. Maybe LeBron supersedes the Warriors, but I don't think so. Like, I think the last 3 or 4 years, the ticket, if you could have one ticket for a Raptors game, it was Golden State.
Well, what the team's been doing over the last few years, it's historical. So, of course, if you get the opportunity to see them, you want to see them. The good news is, even if one superstar is out, they have 18 superstars on the roster, so you're still going to see someone good play.
But Steph's the guy. Right, like as much as Durant is, he's an incredible player, and Draymond Green's going to be doing what he does best, and Clay may go off for 40 and a quarter. But Steph Curry is the unicorn.
He's the one that puts up the stuff that you can't believe, the circus shots that you can't believe.
You got to show up to see him warm up. You know, he's the only player in the league where you do that.
I agree, but say the Raptors beat him and Steph's not in the lineup, is it tainted? You know what? He wasn't in the lineup.
No, you're going to take it, but it's cheapened a little bit. You know, it is cheapened a little bit because Steph, I don't know if it really matters. Someone tweeted in saying, I'll bet you that means the Raptors will sit Kawhi Leonard that night, which who knows? I mean, I don't know what the plan is for Kawhi long term in terms of how many games he's going to play during the regular season, but I would hope not. I mean, those are the challenges you need to You need to meet. You need to face those. And
well, you think Nick Nurse would at least want to try out some different rotations to, even if the game plan isn't, okay, we don't really care if we win this one, you want to at least try out a few things, see what sticks before you have to play them potentially down the road.
If you meet them in an NBA final.
I mean, right. Look,
that is putting the cart way in front of the horse, but the Warriors are getting there. You know, like we said, we were talking about this the other day. The only thing that will stop them is multiple injuries.
Right.
I think they still get there even if Steph is out for the year. I would still pick Golden State. I think Vegas would have them as a heavy favorite still in the West.
I think they're still definitely coming out of the West. But you're not ready to say the Raptors are coming out of the East?
No, I'm not. Everyone, listen.
I've already made bets with Milt Stegall that they are coming out of the East.
Why are you so confident?
But it's so early.
How is it any different than last year?
Like, I understand
there's different players. Kawhi's here and Danny Green's here and it's a new coach. But
Kyle Lowry, let yourself get excited.
I'm excited for the now. Like I am, and that I believe is different than what I've actually experienced right. in past years with the Raptors. Where last year I was like, "All right, let's see what you got, DeMar, come the spring." But Kyle Lowry is not a guy with a rich history of success in the playoffs either. Kyle has choked out multiple games.
Sure.
So the idea that Kawhi on his own is going to make a difference and get them all the way to an NBA Finals is just not a reality.
But it's not Kawhi on his own. It's Kawhi. Danny Green is a champion,
he's
too.
Got pedigree.
He has playoff experience now. So Kyle Lowry isn't expected to be the guy or even necessarily the second guy now. Plus, your younger core that had some playoff experience last year, now they have that under their belt. So the Pascal Siakams and Norm Powells, they're all going to be that much better heading into the playoffs.
Well, I don't know about that because Siakam didn't play a lot in the playoffs last year. I mean, these are guys that Siakam's been great. He's blossomed.
It's been unbelievable.
But I don't know what he's going to look like if they play Boston in the Eastern Final. I don't know.
Well, right. That's the thing. Can they do it for seven games, five games, whatever,
right?
In the playoffs against a Milwaukee or against mm-hmm. can Nick Nurse get those matchups?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel good about them. Why would you not? They're 11-1, and I feel like I can vision that. I can picture them in an NBA final. But this idea that we don't have to play the rest of the season and there's no point in even playing the first three rounds.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
Haven't we learned anything from the Raptors?
It is.
Like, haven't we been down this road before?
But they've never had problems with the regular season.
Right. So, they've had problems with the playoffs,
yeah,
and that's what
true.
We're talking
over
about.
Over or under, are they going to beat the 59 wins?
I think they're over. I think an 11-1 start.
I don't care. I don't even care about that.
But
I think that they could.
So, but even Kawhi being rested, like it sounds like I think he's on pace to be rested like 20 games.
Yeah. It is all going to come down to injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm in both the East and the West.
But that's where I don't think even Golden State's a lock. I think a Steph Curry tweaked groin could change the fortunes of that. You think they're such an all-star team, it just doesn't matter.
I think even without Steph,
they have enough to compensate even if they don't have Steph.
I don't see another team in the West that, like, look at how Houston is starting.
No, I'm not saying in the West. I'm saying in the final, Steph Curry comes out, not available.
So you're saying if you get to the finals.
You get to the finals.
Even that, man. If I feel like without Steph they can cruise through the West, that means they've got to meet somebody at some point in the West that put some sort of a fight up. And if they got through them, you'd still feel pretty good about them getting through Toronto or Boston.
Who would put the biggest fight up on San Antonio right
now? In the West. Not Houston.
On Golden State? It was supposed to be Houston.
It was supposed to be Houston.
I still think they're going to figure it out. They're going to make the playoffs. But they're not going to win 60-plus games.
Yeah,
that doesn't feel like
it. And you're both convinced that L.A.,
Lakers don't have it.
No. They need time still. So they need a lot of time. So.
I think it's easier than ever for Golden State.
Yeah.
It feels that way.
From the
it?
West.
It's tighter in the East right now. Like, I would argue I don't want to rule out Philly by any means, but between the Celtics, how good Milwaukee looked against the Warriors, and the Raptors, it could be just as tight in the East. But I'm still, I feel so good, and I don't want to overreact. I'm really trying hard not to.
Well, you're making bets.
Well, because Milt comes in, and he starts,
spewing.
Yeah, and he's, I think the Celtics could come out of the East, and I'll take that bet.
You know, the Celtics are going to they've got problems right now. Something isn't adding up with them, but they'll be fine by the end of it, I think, too. It's going to be Toronto or Boston. I still feel that, like, even with Milwaukee after the start, I'm not convinced Milwaukee is going to be a team we'll see in the final, but it's November.
Who knows?
Yeah. They've been playing for less than a month. All right, Brian Baldinger will join us in about 20 minutes, NFL analyst. We'll get into that Thursday night or last night where Pittsburgh really made a statement. And it sounds like Le'Veon Bell will return at some point between now and their next game. So James Conner, concussion. Now they actually need Bell. If Conner's healthy, where do the snaps go? And get you an update on Dez Bryant. It sounds like he has blown out his Achilles, so he just signed with the Saints, and he's already done for the year. This could be it for his whole career. Kara's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Noodles kicking around. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, we've got a pair of tickets to give away here. Leafs Blue Jackets, November 19th. Every day this week, we have been providing you with a clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And here's your final clue. This Maple Leaf has scored 30 goals in a season only once in his career. The phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. If you can name this player, you're going to see the Leafs take on the Blue Jackets November 19th. This player happened to be traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I know who it is, but we've known for a while.
Yes.
The one clue.
Well, the preseason clue really gave it away.
Yeah, that one put it out there.
I think. Anyway. Yeah. So, phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. We're bringing back future headlines. We'll tell you more about that in the next hour. We're out of here early today at 6:30. Kara rolls in here and we leave early. Yeah. Pretty good gig for you.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. So Kara Wagland's in here. Brian Baldinger will join us from the NFL Network. We'll get his take on the Thursday nighter last night. Dez Bryant blowing out his Achilles. Is that it for his career? Could he return from that? He's over 30 and he could barely get signed this year. So we'll see what Baldinger has to say about that. And we're teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Leafs, Devils, and then they're in Boston tomorrow night. Final half hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.